Good morning. Today is Friday, April the 1st, 92nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks.
Good morning, Brian.
Morning. This also starts, 34th year of the show.
I have only been here for a small
time. I know. You're part of the legacy, part of the history. And it makes me feel very old. So let's see if I can find something here about aging as our quote. Not because of you. More on my side. Damien's nodding his head. You betcha.
I was just thinking, I wasn't even born yet.
Thanks for just kind of bringing up the little nuances there. Yeah, right. It was frightening for me when we turned 18 and I realized everybody who's driving or being driven to school had grown up with us here. Now it's older than you. Good. Thanks. Okay. Let's see if we can find something here. Yeah, it is. Everything is like really somber here. This is not fun at all. All right, here we go. John Ray, it's an English proverb from 1760. Yay. Old age makes us wiser and more foolish. And that's almost appropriate for today, too.
What, because I'm here?
April Fool's Day.
Okay.
I even know the story behind April Fool's Day. Do you know why it's called April Fool's?
No.
No, I do have to admit I heard it last week on the air, so it's not that much of a revelation, but April 1st used to be New Year's. And in the early Middle Ages, they bumped it to January 1st for whatever reason. And there were still some that celebrated on April 1st. And they were called?
April Fools?
Fools, yes. Okay. And that Fools. Just kind of stuck. So, yeah. More useless trivia. You guys have got a couple initiatives that are pushing out that are going to make life a little bit more different. I don't know, better, worse, challenging, non-challenging, but different. Let's start with the illegal camps or camping. Has a tipping point been reached, Greg? Or is this something that is being driven by not public outcry, not public demand, but something else?
Yeah, I don't think it was actually a tipping point. You certainly could see that a tipping point would be coming at some point. I think there's probably several things that, at least in recent history, kind of led up to this action by the council 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks, yeah, 2 weeks ago. And that is, you know, last fall, city council approved a long-range property maintenance plan for basically the waterfront, the open space area, the Palco Marsh, and we talked about that at the time here on the station about it really indicated that that's not an appropriate place to be camping. It's wetlands. We're dealing with on our cleanups, you know, at a minimum of two 40-yard dumpsters a week of materials that are coming out of there.
And we'll continue when we come back. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Greg, the concept of urban campgrounds or urban transit, I don't know. What is the cutesy PC phrase that gets used? Urban traveler?
Yeah, that gets used. And then the camps, sanctuary camp.
Oh, sanctuaries. Yeah, okay. Great. So you really don't want to be a sanctuary city. On a whole bunch of levels. That's okay.
Right.
So the city is doing a push out from the Palco Marsh and the area behind Bayshore Mall,
where the trails are underneath the bridges and all the other lovely areas that have been determined to be fertile for these folks. What is going into effect?
What the council approved the date of May 2nd of having everyone out from behind the Palco Marsh area. That's what was specifically addressed, because that's, we've got a trail that's going, trail construction that's going to be running from Truesdale to Foot of Del Norte. That's the phase A of the waterfront trail, connects to the Hikshari Trail. Looking for that to be under construction about mid-May. And part of that construction project is taking down the concrete structures, the Devil's Playground area, the drying sheds.
The old industrial stuff from
the mill operation. There's liability concerns there, obviously. That'll be taken down as part of that project and crushed and used as trail base. So that requires
recycling points.
fairly large footprint of construction right in an area where over the last 5-6 months we've been consolidating the footprint back there. As of last fall, you had camping, really stretched all along that corridor, a lot of times in the marshy area, sometimes in the higher areas, that, as we indicated
last
year.
How about squatting instead of camping? Sounds like family fun. Squatting sounds like probably
That's a good term.
Okay.
And, people brought back tarps, tires, cement blocks, all kinds of
pallets,
yeah. Building materials, not just simply pitching a tent back there. And so we've tried to start bringing the size of those encampments down, dealing with that. But we still have up until the last couple of weeks, about 180 people living in there, 69 dogs, 2 goats, 4 chickens. But with this trail construction starting, not a good place to have people. Certainly it's been an issue under discussion for some time. And so we've looked at, if we start pushing on this here, what does that mean? Where do people go? Obviously, we've had service fairs that have been going on down there every month. Those have been increased to weekly. We're working with DHHS in terms of, what people need help, where can they get housed.
Has there been a positive impact from that? Or
we think there have been positive impacts. We've used that process to get people into the MAC, and then from the MAC into more permanent supportive housing. DHHS, through their own programs, even outside the MAC, have been housing, getting people housed in the last several months and seeing some success with that. But at the same time, these numbers just don't seem to change. So I think you get some people out, you get new people in, and that's really not the position we want to be in, is that this just stays in this kind of constant state. We're working with St. Vincent de Paul Rescue Mission, trying to see what, in terms of opening up bed space at night for a period of time. And so we're trying to provide those kind of relief valves that just doesn't disperse this camping into the gulches and onto, other public property or private property.
Well, that's, I guess, part of the question. There still are some large green space areas. The Office of Ed is doing their stuff, and I guess Caltrans will be finishing off the rest of that across the street there, the backside of Renner's. Mm-hmm. There's that area. There's the large, I guess it would be called a field, for lack of a better term, that Rob Arkley has, that's north of the bridge, where there's an awful lot of folks that are there also. Is there going to be a formalized structure area? And other than that, you say no? Are you going to need to have, I guess, park police or the equivalent of that to go through the green space, like with horses or whatever, and be able to high hassle folks? Because I don't think a win would be dispersing them from there and having them relocate somewhere else.
Absolutely not. That would be more of a worst case than what we're currently dealing with. So, we are you know, we've obviously put together kind of a management team that's dealing with this issue. Chief Mills, you know, Park and Rec, Public Works, City Attorney's Office, as well as DHHS, and trying to bring the resources we need to really deal with this and not just let it pop out in other places, and to maintain a no tolerance zones for camping to move into. And that's going to require enforcement type actions.
Do the property owners, have they, of these larger spots, have they been noticed? Do they have additional tools that they can use or assets that they can use? So if it starts showing up on their place, your representatives can deal with it before it becomes entrenched?
Certainly try to. From what I understand, we have the California's trespass law is not the greatest, but I had that conversation with
the It's a
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks from the city of Eureka. Greg, so this change in the camp or squatting structure in Eureka, it sounded to me like you had fear that it might end up just shifting them around and maybe some of the city parks, formalized parks become sure. Places where these folks end up, or other surrounding places outside the city, public or private. How is this activity going to help that not to occur?
That's sort of how that dispersion, if that results in just, you know, getting people moved out from there, but then they're sleeping in the doorways of businesses on Main Street, that's not what we want to see accomplished. Or like, say, moving into Sequoia Park or Cooper Gulch or something like that, where we've had different problems, certainly.
And done a fairly good job of cleaning it up.
You know, it seems like it. I mean, yeah. I try to get through there and keep an eye on that. I know the chief does and our parks department. So, yeah, we do pay attention to that. So we really are looking at how we can bring some additional resources to assist police department, whether that's through hiring some private security to assist with, in the short term, with doing additional patrol in Old Town, downtown.
Areas of concern.
Park areas, yeah. Absolutely. Because I know you've had Chief Mills on your program on a regular basis. We're down some officers just from, you know, through some attrition type issues of people moving on. And Andy's certainly trying to get us back to full staffing. And that's going to be really important as we move through these kind of processes. The good news is, budget-wise, as we're coming in this next year, we aren't looking at any personnel reductions that we've seen in the last several years. So from a staffing standpoint across departments, that will not be an issue in this upcoming budget. The other thing we did as part of the setting this May 2nd date was the City Council approved putting out a request for proposals to businesses, organizations, individuals who may have an interest in establishing a tent camp, a sanctioned tent camp.
Somebody who would be willing to accept that on their property.
Right. And so we put that RFP out last Friday. We're taking proposals until the 22nd of April. And with a decision by council, the first meeting in May. And we are getting interest from a number of people regarding this. And we've left this pretty open as to whether private property or city property. If it's on city property, then there's certainly insurance requirements that kick in that are different than if it's on private property.
I would think you want to have insurance.
A high level of insurance.
Even if you were a private guy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what is, I know it's tough to say, here's the ideal scenario. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's going to try to say, oh, well, he's talking about. But what are you looking for? What is the size requirement? What is the access requirement? What is the impact to the neighbors, neighborhood requirements? What are those things that you're looking for? Is it open? Is it an existing structure that would be repurposed? What is the ideal that you're looking for?
Certainly an ideal would be a structure that, an empty structure. And we could, quite frankly, use the shelter crisis declaration that the council approved back in December. That could be extended to a shelter, a physical building, so that
it
doesn't
be property specific, the declaration?
Yeah, certainly could be. So it doesn't have to meet certain building code requirements and ingress and egress, those types of things. So that's a possibility. And certainly council would weigh very seriously any impact on neighborhood kind of issues or potential impact on businesses. That's always going to be the concern.
Does it have to be inside the city of Eureka?
Well, obviously we can't make a decision about something that's, say, outside the city of Eureka.
No, but it sounds like there's motivation and there's some bucks behind it. So let's say it's just inside the county.
Mm-hmm.
Within a quarter mile. Would that still have interest? Could you work a deal with that, or does it need to be within the city boundaries?
We would want to have that conversation with the county. We aren't putting money into this. I mean, that's what's we put out in this RFP is, we're looking for proposals, but the council hasn't authorized any city dollars to go into this. And it really also gets back to...
Why would anybody want to do it then if there's no profit motive?
Right. We're looking for, in a sense, those kind of individuals or organizations that want to take something on in the short term, really up to 6 months, to help, in a sense, solve this issue.
Okay. Help me out here, bud.
It's
short of somebody being super good guy.
Like you.
One might think. You got increased insurance costs.
Mm-hmm.
You got certainly a hassle factor associated with this, the ongoing daily events, mm-hmm. let alone the neighborhood impacts, traffic impacts, all that kind of stuff to your property, potential degradation of the value of the property. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to just do this because I'm a good guy? That seems, I'm losing ground on this one, not even being neutral on it.
Mm-hmm.
What's motivating these people that are showing interest?
I'm going to know a lot more about what's motivating them after we have a pre-proposal meeting next week. But we have had a number of them already kind of come forward and ask about the RFP, even though we make it really clear up front that we're not putting city money into this.
Boy, at the conceptual level, I would have laughed it down. There's got to be something I'm missing here. Are there like state tax credits or federal dollars? Or
no, there certainly isn't. I mean, this, I think from the council standpoint, they hear a lot from a number of people in the community that says, the city or say somebody else ought to be doing something. I think this is somewhat the council's response is maybe community members, maybe you can step forward and help provide a part of the solution.
So now it's the community's fault that we have the situation.
Well, when I say community, I'm...
We better take a break quicker. I'm going to get really... It will be an April Fool's show. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
sponsor. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redek with Greg Sparks. Greg, there's a kind of a two-pronged approach that's going on with starting the beginning, I guess we call it next month, which is weird, but that's okay, in May. The anti-panhandling.
Right.
Now, I know there's been some challenges with loitering, and I guess begging is a free speech issue and all this other kind of weird definition thing of our brave new world. What is the city doing in regards to that?
Right. We've approved two readings, so it's and it goes into effect, I believe it's April 13th, a new, really, addition to our panhandling ordinance. I mean, we've had for a number of years an ordinance that dealt with aggressive panhandling. And as we've looked at different panhandling ordinances over the years, you know, a lot of they get struck down by courts. The one council approved here recently is based on Sacramento County's ordinance, and it withstood a legal challenge. And it really addresses panhandling at controlled intersections, that being where there are traffic lights or stop signs, of getting panhandling away from the intersection, getting it off of medians, and getting it away from the entrance and exits into businesses.
The access points.
The access points. And it treats it as a public safety issue. And we've all seen, as you're coming down Henderson onto South Broadway, of panhandlers moving up and down that strip and people breaking and the potential for rear-end accidents and
it's all there.
And having people in the intersection. So that's what we're going to be trying to deal with. We'll have signage out, and we'll be doing public information to people that, you know, don't contribute to panhandlers in these areas.
Well, I guess one side of me goes, lots of luck. The other says, hey, something's being done. Finally, it looks like there's some tangible action that's having to be taken, but is being taken. And that's kind of refreshing.
You've got to try things.
Listen to me. I'm liking what government's doing.
You're a pro-government guy.
Yeah, go government, go. Yeah, I think it's a time for a weekend break. Thanks for coming by, Greg.
Thank you, Brian.
Join us Monday morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.